It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
What's up, everybody? Your boy, Ike Feldman from the Iketagon, of course. Another fight week, local fight week, kind of, sort of. My boy, Naz Sadekhov. I think I nailed it there, but my boy Naz, N-A-Z underscore MMA, is fighting this weekend. Fury Fighting Championships 59 in Houston, Texas. OMG. It's going to be awesome. He is on the main card. Stream the fight Sunday, March 27th, not Saturday, March 26th. Only on UFC Fight Pass. Pretty awesome. Pretty pumped for it. Naz is a good guy. Great guy. Great fighter. It's pretty cool as you get to know these guys and become friendly with them, or girls, and then you get to see them compete in the cage, the hexagon, octagon, the circle of Bellator, one championship, local promotions, other regional promotions like Fury Fighting Championships. It's pretty cool. You not only learn about them, and the interview's cool, that's fun, that's a lot of adrenaline, that's for me, that's a step up of online video games, but I really do enjoy the interview. But what I enjoy more is getting to know these people, these fighters, these human beings. But we see them as warriors on TV, but I like to see the in-between, and the human interactions are most important to me. So, yeah, around the interview were excellent human interactions, but the interview is what you guys came for. You came for box office. And speaking of box office, I did see The Batman this past weekend. I will get into an extensive spoiler-ridden, get it, with the Riddler, spoiler-ridden review with my boy Jake Moore from ESPN on his Watch It podcast tomorrow. I think he'll release it the following day or later tomorrow. It's an awesome podcast. Jake is super talented. This guy, I'm glad I'm like catching him on the low while he's in the he's about to crack through to the majors and then get his opportunity, win MVP awards, and then he's gonna be done with me. But no, Jake is the man. He is super talented. So tomorrow the Batman talk will happen. For now, this is MMA talk. And guys, I just, you know, I work work for NBC, but I didn't want to come across as like too much of a company man, like covering their combat sports stuff. But I would never sell out, is what I'm saying. Everybody has a price. You can't. I'm out of your league. You can't just send me gear in the mail and I'm just like a shill for NBCSportsEdge.com every weekday if you want your betting analysis. But yeah, I'm a high price tag if you're trying to buy me. But who also is a high price tag because this guy is on a rocket ship towards the UFC and everything that's great in the martial arts world. The man, he's not a myth. He is a real person. But a future legend, N-A-Z underscore MMA, interview up now.
It's time to step inside the Iketagon with your host, Ike Feldman.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Ike Feldman. Not inside the Iketagon, inside the Sarah Longa Fight Team Octagon located in Huntington, New York, the Sarah Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy. It is a wonderful Tuesday on Long Island, New York. Naz Sadikov.
Sadikov.
Oh my God, that's strike one. Naz Sadikov, Naz underscore MMA on Instagram is joining me the Tuesday before his fight, Fury Fighting 59, this Sunday in Houston, Texas. He better go on the Joe Rogan podcast after he gets the win.
He's 5-1. He's fought CFFC. Now he's in Fury Fighting. The dude is killing it. Watch the fight on UFC Fight Pass this Sunday, March 27th. Nas, how you doing, brother?
I'm feeling great. Weight is on point. It's my third time making weight in 5 months. So my body's really listening to me. I'm slightly ahead of schedule. I'm probably going to enjoy some food tonight. A little bit of extra carbs than usual. So I feel great. Everything's firing correctly. Wrestling, grappling, striking. My mind is in the best place possible. My shape is in the best place possible.
The most important thing, the mind. Yes, yes. I appreciate it.
So Sunday you'll see fireworks. You'll see the best version of me.
Nice. Now, is it true that what you said, or is it just specifically for you? I heard the more you make the weight, the more your body gets used to dropping it and gaining. Is that true?
I mean, if you do it properly, yes. Okay. Like, if your body is used to that water loading regime, it's used to dieting and not putting certain things in its body for a certain amount of time, I'm sure that's true. But for some guys, like, they're cutting like 50 pounds and they're trying to sweat 35 of them off. Of course, it's probably not going to be the same thing. But for me, I get heavy, but I also, when I'm not eating whatever the hell I want, I walk around, you know, high 70s. So for me, 155 is the type of weight class I can make multiple times a year without really any kind of crazy struggle. I'm also young. I hear that when you get older, it starts to wear on you a little bit. So
stereotype.
I don't know. Right now, I'm young. Right now, I got my body down, so I'm enjoying it. It's easy. I'm going to make the weight like a professional. And Sunday, I will be pretty heavy. I'll balloon back up to a good weight.
Let's go. Fury Fighting 59.
Let's go.
He's fighting Joe Borsig. Before we get to Joe and everything, we're obviously focusing on Nas underscore MMA. Not Nas the rapper. Nas from Staten Island. N-A-Z.
Brooklyn. That's Dennis.
Oh.
I'm from Brooklyn, baby.
Coney Island. Wrong island. I lived in Flatbush. That was the we got to visit Coney Island a lot and the Far Rockaway Beach. It's really cool to get out of the city and get out of the craziness. Are you ever thinking of moving to the island? Maybe be closer to your teammates and camp, or is it just too much family? You born and raised in the city. Like, is there an affinity and love for the city that you could never cut off?
That not necessarily. Like,
oh, okay, bye, city.
I lived with Al and Dennis. I was roommates with them for two years.
Nice.
Yeah, I moved back last year. I was just kind of torn between work and between wanting to focus on like the future. You know, like. Yeah, like rooming with somebody is great. It's okay to do when, you know, for a specific amount of time. But I'm just kind of already focused on just, you know, getting these wins, getting this contract, being diverse in other areas of life and business and just moving on in general. So that was kind of the reason behind that. Like, I kind of had to go back to work. So me having, you know, living on Long Island and then, you know, going to Brooklyn for work and then back to training and this and that. So I just kind of went back to Brooklyn. I drive to training, but, you know, to me, I used to drive like two and a half hours to training. So an hour of car ride for me is a luxury. It's easy.
Nice.
You know, and if I get lucky, if there's no traffic on that freaking Belt Parkway, I'll get here in like 45, 50. But otherwise, an hour and 15 for me is nothing.
Nice. Yeah, and I hear horror stories about the Belt Parkway. Living in Bushwick, trying to see Long Island family getting back to Brooklyn was crazy. Dude. But Al and Dennis as roommates, who's better cook? You got the Long Island Italian or you got the Staten Island Albanian? Who's got the better specialties in the kitchen?
Dennis makes a good steak. I'm not going to lie.
Okay,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
He gets the garlic on there, the butter.
Nice. Okay.
He became pretty fluent with the pasta. You know who's the best? You know who always cooks for them?
Let me guess. Steve?
No.
Steve, okay.
Somebody that rooms with them all the time.
Who me?
Who's from Italy here? Who comes here from Italy all the time?
Oh, Luca.
Pietro. But Luca's pretty good too.
Okay.
Because I had some of Luca's pasta. That was delicious. These Italians, bro.
Homemade?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's so simple. They get the same pasta that you and I get from Stop and Shop, but they do something with it. I don't know. They spice a little. I don't know what they do, but it's just,
I don't believe
it's great.
It.
It's smooth.
His grandmother's in the basement or the attic. She's making the pastas and throwing
I can only
them
imagine what their pasta's like. I got to go over there to their motherland and try that over there.
I know. We got to get Al to get like a birthright to get him in Italian.
Straight up.
He'd be like, no bueno. No, Al, that's Colombia. We're in Italy.
Yeah, straight up.
Oh, man.
Straight up.
Dude, the team, the Saralongo team,
as we see, you guys are cool, man. I think if there was ever a TV show on Fox, NBC, UFC Fight Pass, you guys are right. How was it getting introduced to the Long Island crowd? Like, what was your martial arts background? Did you come into the gym 10 years ago? Did you start at law? I know you have a Sambo background. We'll get into that. But what was your intro to martial arts that led you to the Long Island academies?
Well, the thing is, I've been training in Brooklyn. I had teams that I trained out of Brooklyn from my amateur career. And I was a judoka. I trained Sambo. I competed in Sambo, combat Sambo.
Oh, combat?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I competed in kickboxing, Muay Thai. So actually, here's the craziest. This will probably blow your mind. I don't know how. To me, it's really cool. I don't know how it's going to be to you. But Justin and I competed against each other on amateur kickboxing at the Capitale. We competed against each other, and he's cornering me this Sunday for my fight. And we're teammates. We train alongside every day. We sharpen each other. But anyway, the Sarah Longo team, they're already world renowned. They've been known. They've been they're famous. Everybody knows who they are. When I wanted to train professionally, when I wanted to invest in, like in Brooklyn, I don't feel I. No offense to any of the teams in Brooklyn. It's just Brooklyn is a city of distractions. Nothing really, you can't really sustain and you can't really maintain anything there. You can get some good training in, but it's one thing to get good training and it's another thing to sit, get behind the wheel, drive an hour and you're with the best camp in the world. So if the best camp in the world is I just thought to myself, if the best camp in the world is only an hour away, it's best to make that investment. So I actually made that investment when I already turned pro, lost my pro debut. And, you know, it was just like a matter of me wanting to correct my circumstances, just everything in, as a whole. It wasn't just the training, but training, you know, I reached out to different teams. I was plotting. I'm actually really proud of myself for this decision because I took the time. I spoke to many, nice. Many different people who, where,
like
where can I get the best.
You're trying to figure out what team to
yeah,
go for.
Yeah. Like, where can you get the most bodies? Where can you get this kind of grappling? Where can you?
Cause in the weight class. There's a lot of guys around
class.
You.
Now, take a look. Just on the this is a jiu-jitsu. You know, Sarah's is our jiu-jitsu school. So, you know, just the jiu-jitsu partners for 155.
Jiu-jitsu and life school.
Yes.
They teach you
yes.
a lot of life.
Yes. Mixed martial arts. Martial arts. There's nothing better you can have for life, you know? But, yeah, just my weight class and just as a whole, I talked to Ray. I planned a little talk with him. I showed up. I talked to him, and I was sold right away. I had no idea that his energy was going to be as great and as welcoming. I peeked into the gym. It was like their sparring day. I saw a bunch of guys that are my size, mm-hmm. my weight class, some familiar faces, some guys that I knew before I even got to the gym because they were fighting on the same amateur shows as myself. So I just thought
long. How was that with the ego?
I don't know. That's what I'm saying when I say I was very proud.
That's respect to
you. Yeah. That's what I'm saying when I say.
A lot of people without that confidence, they wouldn't take that step.
Yeah. It's kind of like, okay, like you can either be egoistic and sour and be like, oh, I'm the best. There's nobody can touch you. Or you can be like, hey, listen, you're talented. There's no question. You have the potential.
Thank you.
You do have the potential, brother. That was a great role.
Oh, please, man. You kicked my ass. This guy's going to kill. Joe Bersig, who's a tough guy, do not mistake. He just fought Josh Quinlan, who I believe got the contract from Dana White. No joke. He's fighting tough guys. This guy kicked my fucking ass, and this is me in shape. Nas is taking it easy on fight week. This is him cutting weight. This isn't him being the Brolic Hulk. This is him being Spider-Man on fight week, leaning out. Hulk. Kick my ass.
Yeah, man.
Sorry to distract you.
No. It's all good. It's all good.
But you're saying the potential.
Yeah, I mean, so with the camp, it was like I put all that to the side and I just made a strategic move. And for that, for my age at the time, I was 24, about to turn 25. For my age at the time, for my like knowledge, that was the most mature and the most smartest thing I could have done. Because now I have relationships here that'll last a lifetime. I have a momentum and a career that will also last a lifetime. So I'm proud of myself and I'm proud to be here. I'm proud to represent. And it's just an honor to be here, you know? Like, whether I'm the best or not, it's not really... My goal is to show the world that I'm the best there, you know? Over here, these are my friends, my family, my training partners. So I put all that to the side when I come in here, put all the ego to the side, and just grow. Every day I grow. I'm about to be 28 soon. I still feel like I have so much growth left in me, so the best is yet to come.
Respect, respect. Again, Fury Fighting 59, March 27th. This Sunday, UFC Fight Pass, Naz Sadykov.
Sadykov.
What's the actual pronunciation?
Sadykov.
Sadykov.
Yeah.
I respect it because I was asking Dennis. I was like, is it Bazooka? He goes, no, Bazookia. And I was like, okay. I was like, let's get the real name. I heard that Al's real pronunciation is Yaquinta.
Yaquinta?
Yeah, that's what I
that
heard.
That sounds right.
He said Khabib's Yaquinta. The only one. But, I mean, the world will know your name again this Sunday. Hopefully you climb to 6-1. I wanted to talk about it. You mentioned you were 2-0 as an AMI. You jumped up to pro, your first loss. Were you questioning yourself? Like, what the hell am I doing? What's going on? You rattle off 5 straight wins. Holy moly. You're on a roll. You got the confidence of a freaking a Greek god. Nas
I
Zeus.
Love these.
It's amazing,
Hulk,
man.
Greek god. What was what else you got for me, bro? I love
it. What was that taking that moment? Did you have to reset? Was it just like, you know what? I don't care. I'm going to keep going. Was it look in the mirror? You had to throw some water in your face. That's a crazy moment.
Well, I was 4-0 as an AMI. I was
Sure Dog. What the fuck you doing?
Oh, Sure Dog had me at 2-0. Yeah, I mean Tapology, I guess, is more. But anyways, when I turned pro, I was traveling here, traveling there. I was training in New Jersey. It was
This was before Law?
Yeah, yeah. So Law was right after my pro debut. Perfect. And like I said, it wasn't really like a training issue. Like I was still getting good training, but if you want to talk about being under one roof, not stressing yourself out with these long drives, and it's one thing to be all over the place, and it's another thing to just be grounded and know where you're going, who, where, what you're doing that day. You know, I at times I didn't even know if I was gonna make it to Jersey. Oh, traffic is 2.5 hours now. I might not make it now because of work and this and that. So, you know, I was getting good training, but now it's just a different level. I'm just under one roof. I'm training every day, twice a day. You know, I sometimes come out to Long Island early and just spend the day here.
Nice.
I have a bunch of connections, a bunch of friends here. So I hang out. I do what I have to do. And, you know, I head back to Brooklyn. So it wasn't I didn't think like too negative. Like I wasn't
good.
Too negative good. About it. But of course, when you lose, you got to think things through. I didn't want to be reactive. I wanted to be proactive. I wanted to be because I could have kept trying. You know, my attitude, just the way I am. I'm stubborn. I'll fall. I'll get back up. I'll fall. I'll get back up. So I could have even went 0-2, or maybe I would have won the next one, or the next one, whatever it would have been. I just wanted to be proactive and just put myself in the best possible position, as opposed to just keep either falling or not getting the performances that I wanted, or not getting the best out of training camp that I could have, and just continuously like falling down. I just wanted to be reactive, get the best possible training, and step in there with no excuses.
Amazing, amazing. And you seem like a very cerebral guy, even though, again, you're built like the Hulk. You got the
This is weight cut Nas. Wait till you see me at 183. Wait till you see me at 183, man.
Jeez, my goodness.
catch me like April 2nd, 3rd. I'll be up there, bro.
You hear about, was it Gleason Tebow, Paul Felder, Khabib, all these guys that go up 190, 195. It's crazy. You lightweights are not light. What the hell's going on? Yeah, you guys are big boys. But you mentioned before Justin Montalvo, who I've had the privilege and the honor of following leading up to his Bellator 274 fight, and the documentary The Gray Area is coming out soon. Justin's in your corner. You guys are former opposing combatants, and now your teammates. I don't care about the fight. How is it, I don't know, traveling with your boy? I know Ray and Matt are... These guys are just legends, and maybe it's hard for them to make it out to every fight. Will Ray be there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Oh, Ray will be there. He's traveling to Texas, that son of a gun. I thought he skipped Frivola's fight. He's like, oh, I got the COVID. No, okay, he really did get the COVID. I thought it was a smart move.
No, man.
The jet lag, but okay, Ray will be there. How is it, like, somebody that you actually stepped in to fight against, a lot of pressure, you know, a lot of focus, and now he's a teammate and a brother? Like, it's a big transition, and again, it takes a very secure and confident person like you. What advice would you give? How did you go about that process?
I didn't think too deep of it though. You know, like that's the business. Look at Colby and Maz. They're fighting outside of steakhouses now. Yeah. You know, like you can't. There's nothing is like fixated. Like if I had that much of an ego that I can't come and get the best possible training in the world, be part of a world class camp, all because I had a 6-minute kickboxing match with a former opponent who's now my teammate and friend, you know, then I'm not gonna get too far in this sport. So I didn't think too deep into that, to be honest with you.
And I
just stepped in and I just made a calculated and logical decision.
Smart. And the theme continues with the Law MMA team, because Justin fought Charlie the Cannibal April 15th coming up for CFFC. And I didn't even ask. He didn't even bring it up how the fight went. You know, some people could have been like, yo, I got the better of Charlie. Or, Charlie, man, he's an asshole. He was a dirty fight. Didn't even bring it up. And I respect that. I was like, that's cool. I was like, that says a lot about Justin, you, the team. Charlie's another story. No, I'm just kidding. With the shoulder pads. He's a scary dude. I want to interview him, but I'm very scared.
Yeah, man. That is a mean fighting machine he is.
No freaking doubt. But again, follow Naz, N-A-Z _MMA on Instagram. Take us through what to expect against your opponent. Again, he's a tough guy, even though he's got a smile on all his profile photos. Joe Borsig, again, fought a guy who got the contract on the Dana White Contender Series, and Josh Quinlan. I know he's not going to be easy out. What can we expect from you, and what are you looking for, Joe? Like, what does he bring to the table?
He's like long, unorthodox in his striking. Seen a couple of KOs. Has a decent right hand. He does. He can even be clean. Whatever he wants to do, I'm coming full steam ahead. I'm well rounded. I'm comfortable everywhere. He's a runner too. He's big on running. He runs every day. He has like a streak. I did some research. He has like a running streak of like 3 years or something. He's been running 3 years straight every day. It's impressive, but is he going to count on me getting tired? I am the cardio machine. I am the cardio king. I tire them out. They don't tire me out. So I don't know. I just know I'm better everywhere. I know he poses threats. I know a fight is a fight. But I'm coming full steam ahead. I'm looking to run him over, secure my whatever's next. I don't know, but I'm looking to secure a good position. I'm looking to be talked about after this. So let's get it, man. Sunday night, UFC Fight Pass. Tune in.
March 27th, UFC Fight Pass, Fury Fighting 59. Again, follow Naz, N-A-Z _MMA on Instagram. Last thing, man, I had the privilege of speaking with Ray a couple of months ago. He said there's 4 or 5 guys in the gym. You were in the gym. He was pointing to you that could make the transition to the UFC. Is that the goal by the end of the year, in a year time, 18 months? When do you see yourself on the world's biggest promotion?
Things do such a 180 in this sport that I impressed Sunday night. I could get a short notice, and I'll be all for it. I'll be there for it. So that contender, whatever they have for me, whatever fate has in me, I'm ready for it. I 100% want to be in the UFC. It's been my dream since I was a very long time.
Have you felt it? Like, look, the feeling.
Put on those gloves. Matt Favola let me borrow the gloves right here. I hit him. I hit the bag with him. I 100% see myself in not just getting there is one thing. You know, like, it's not a lottery for me to get to the UFC. I've been working for it. It's not luck. For me, not to just get there, to be talked about the way some of these big names, especially my weight class, are talked about. You know, like the Max Holloways, Justin Gaethjes, and, oh, I want to see this fight. I want to see that fight. I'm going to be that name that people are going to say, wow, I can't wait to see Nas fight this guy. I can't wait to see Nas fight Gaethje. I have to prepare myself for that kind of transition, because today I'm watching Gaethje fight, and I'm genuinely interested in watching him fight as a fan. 18 months from now, 2 years from now, I'm not saying, you know, it's possible. It's realistic.
Good cross.
It's realistic. If I go in there and I impress, and they see that I'm well-spoken, I carry myself well, they'll give me those fights.
Exactly.
They'll give me those fights, and that's exactly what I look forward to. I'm preparing myself for that transition, because I know the next 1-2 years for me is going to be insane. The type of things I feel like I am capable of achieving in this sport and in this life is, there's no, sky is the limit.
And you're on that trajectory, man. I think they kick off in August, September, the Dana White Contender Series. You might be, like, would you take a fight in June or July? Or is that too close to the series?
Like, dude, if I'm injury-free, if I step out of there with no serious injuries, God willing, there is absolutely no reason for me not to make a quick turnaround. Like I was off for, 20 months or 18, 19 months, something like that, before my October Fury fight, before I signed a contract with them. I had COVID, I had this, I had that. I always said to myself then, before then, if I am healthy, I'm competing. That's it.
If you're healthy now?
If I'm healthy, I'm competing. No COVID free.
Thank God.
COVID free. If I'm healthy, I'm competing. That's it. You know, if in May, if there's something in May and I walk out of here injury free, I'll be looking at that too.
Amazing, man. Well, I've been waiting to say your name for a couple of minutes. I was trying to win you over. Naz.
This is your chance, brother.
Oh, God. There's a D in there. Sadekhov.
That was a little over the top,
if
but
you say it fast,
it'll do for now. It's okay. Well, it'll Naz, do for now, bro.
I appreciate the time.
Thank you,
great,
bro.
Best of luck this Sunday, March 27th, UFC Fight Pass, Fury Fighting 59. Watch the boy. He's coming.
Tune in, guys. Let's go.
I appreciate the time,
Thank
brother.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
So while I realized, man, my nipples were freezing. That whole interview. So if you guys don't know, I do train martial arts here and there, there and here. And I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's the Apache Native American or the Spanish genes inside me or the Israeli genes, basically all desert people. It takes a while for me to warm up and I just cool down like this. And we did the interview after training. Naz kicked everybody's ass in the room. He's going to kick everybody's ass on Sunday if he has to fight a round robin or do it like UFC 1. Naz is ready for war. I am ready to see his war, and it's going to be amazing. This Sunday, March 27th, UFC Fight Pass, Fury Fighting Championships 59. But my point is, after the high-intensity, sweaty, steamy, hot, jiu-jitsu training and rolling around all over on the mats, I immediately cooled down and I'm wearing this wet rash guard t-shirt. It was not a t-shirt like this, but it was a very sweaty t-shirt. And then all of a sudden my whole skin dries up and what do you know? My nips are freezing. So in case you were wondering, but that's neither here nor there. What is here is the end of this week's Iktagon episode. Your boy Ike Feldman is out. Thank you for liking, subscribing, commentating. YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, at Iktagon everything. Iketagon. You guys have exited the Iktagon. Peace.